Money FM 89.3, best of workday afternoon.
Here on Money FM 89.3, I'm Teresa Monter for the workday afternoon. Today on Health Suite, we go to a bank which subsists on donations, the Brain Bank Singapore. This joint partnership between Lee Kong Chiang School of Medicine, the National Neuroscience Institute, and the National Health Care Group is the first of its kind in Southeast Asia. We speak to Professor Richard Reynolds, Director of Brain Bank Singapore, about the objectives of Brain Bank Singapore and the research studies which would benefit from the tissue collected. Coming up next on Money FM 89.3.
Health Suite with Clarissa Montero on Money FM 89.3.
Good afternoon and welcome to Health Suite on Money FM 89.3. I'm Clarissa Montero for the workday afternoon. On the phone with me, Professor Richard Reynolds, Director of Brain Bank Singapore, to discuss the significance of a brain bank here in Southeast Asia. We find out how it will benefit future neurological research and how we can all be a donor. Professor Reynolds, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Clarissa.
It's a pleasure to have you. Now, can you start us off by explaining why studying the human brain is so important for research and development of new drugs?
Yes, well, I mean, there's a great need currently for medical breakthroughs, for better treatments for brain disorders such as dementia, Parkinson's, stroke, etc. And there's still no drugs available that actually slow down or prevent the damage caused in the brain by these disorders. So we need to carry out more studies. And because it's the human brain affected by these disorders, we really need to study the details within the human brain. And the only way to do that is to study it in the post-mortem brain rather than the living brain. Therefore, the bank was set up to facilitate this. It's a piece of vital infrastructure that will contribute to the future health of Singaporeans through studying these brain disorders and discovering new targets for drug therapies.
All right. Now, there are other brain banks in China, Europe and the US. The Singapore Brain Bank is the first in Southeast Asia. Why was it important to have one opened here?
Well, there's a number of reasons, Clarissa. The first is that there's a large, strong, internationally recognized community of researchers in Singapore who are studying brain disorders and contributing to new possible breakthroughs. And that those local researchers need a local access to a good collection of brain tissues to do those studies. And although there are other banks in the world, even those banks cannot provide the amounts of tissue required for research these days. So we need more and new banks to collect more brain tissue. And the other local reason is that, our genetic background plays a very important role in how our bodies respond to both infection and disease processes. And therefore, we need brains from people who have the right genetic background, and in this case, the Southeast Asian background, for those studies, make those breakthroughs.
It is important for the public to understand the role of scientific studies, not just neurological conditions, but in general, because then it becomes easier to convince them to, shall we say, leave their bodies to science. If you don't understand the kind of research and work that's being done and why those various parts are required, then perhaps you don't understand why donating yourself to it is important. Do you agree with that statement?
I totally agree with that statement. And therefore, Brain Bank Singapore is put together a kind of educational package. So we're going around talking to people in the community, patient groups and healthy possible donors in the community, to tell them why it's very important that researchers have access to human brain tissues. Because it's only through studying the minute details, the details of how cells in our brain and molecules in the brain contribute to that disease process, that we can actually understand how to stop it and develop new therapies. We can look at the brain while it's still alive through brain scanning, but that's all done at a very gross, large level. You can't get down to the details that we need to actually find new drug targets.
Right. We're speaking with Professor Richard Reynolds, Director of Brain Bank Singapore. Quite an aside, but your last answer made me wonder, is there a time in the future where you can, cut open someone's skull when they're still alive and study them as they're still alive? Is there a time in the future when that can safely be done?
I can't see it myself at the moment.
But it would be great if you could.
It would be far too invasive, I think. Yes.
I would imagine there is an issue of, yes, it would be quite invasive indeed. The Brain Bank Singapore took 2 years to set up. Were there any obstacles during that process? Tell us what you learned about local perception of exactly that, you know, collecting tissue, and just generally what the public's opinion of it was.
The first hurdle you have to overcome is meeting all the legislation and getting all the ethical approvals in place. Now, that takes quite some time, and that takes time in any developed country. So that took us probably well over a year to get all the paperwork in place.
Sure.
We've been discussing with members of local communities about whether there's a reluctance to donate or not. And I think we're seeing the general pattern that I've seen before in other countries, where it's a very difficult decision for people to make, and it's a very sensitive decision for people to make, to leave what they consider a kind of mystical organ to research. But what we found is that if you're a member of a family, or you yourself have been affected by a brain disorder and your whole family is affected by it, there's much less reluctance to give what is a very precious gift for future generations.
I think that's something that perhaps needs to be driven home more for all of us in the public, that it is a precious donation.
It's an absolutely selfless and precious gift that will help future generations be less susceptible to these devastating diseases. Yes.
All right. Let's talk about the whole process of making a donation in anything, whether you're donating blood or you're donating money to a charity. I assume there are similarities, but what are the things that someone who's listening to this and thinking maybe I'd like to make that donation of my brain when the time comes? What do you think they need to know? How do they register as a donor once they've made that decision?
Well, the first thing is they either will meet with us at an event they're at, or they can go to our website, which is www.brainbanksingapore.org, and they can find out the information on that website. But I would say you have to think deeply about this. You need to discuss it with family members, because they will be the ones responsible for initiating it at the time.
Right.
So you fully understand what it means to be a brain donor. And then my team will meet with them personally and ask them, once we've gone through the procedure, if they're willing to sign a consent form that will allow this to happen in the future. So that's all that needs to be done at that point. And then, obviously, the point at which they pass away, it would be their relative or a healthcare professional who's treating them that would phone us rapidly after their death. And then we would start the whole procedure of retrieving the brain, which is done in a very respectful and compassionate way at two different mortuary sites that have agreed to work with us on this.
Is there a time frame that you need to be able to get to the brain to make sure it's what you need for your future research?
Yes, there is indeed. And obviously, tissues begin to break down rapidly after death. But the time frames that we're looking at here are, it's important, if possible, to retrieve the brain back to Brain Bank Singapore within 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And then that tissue would be of use for just about any research procedure that can currently be carried out on the tissue. We do stretch that to 48 hours, where the brain can still be used for some procedures, but not all of them. But it's still valuable at that point. After 48 hours, I'm afraid that the tissue has degenerated a bit too far to be useful for research.
Singapore is a multiracial country. The research that you do, the access to different races, different brains from different racial makeups, is that one of the reasons why the Brain Bank is here in Singapore?
Absolutely, yes, it is indeed. And we're beginning to understand now that from other studies that, you know, our genetic makeup, our background characteristics can determine how a disease affects us, whether it will progress rapidly or slowly. In some other conditions, it's been shown that it will determine whether we respond to therapies or not, medication or not. So it's actually vital to understand this in populations in different places in the world, because it may mean that we have to treat differently when we have the correct drugs.
Before I let you go, does the Brain Bank have plans to share research with the rest of Southeast Asia, with other research institutes, for example?
The brain tissues that will be brought into Brain Bank Singapore will be distributed initially to researchers in Singapore carrying out vital research on brain disorders. But we expect that there will be interest from other institutes and other nations in the vicinity. And it would be our plan to also help those research institutes as well. Yeah.
Okay. Actually, there was one more question before the last question I said was the last question. Since you have been here, since you have opened, what has been the response? Are you getting the amount of tissue that you were hoping for? Where is that?
So we're in setup phase, really, in terms of recruiting donors at the moment. Mm-hmm. And so far we have 32 donors signed up. About half of them are healthy, half of them have brain disorders. Mm-hmm. It was going well, and then COVID-19 crisis, of course, came along, and that stopped us being able to meet with people to discuss. But that picked up again now, so we're again able to meet people. So it's early days because it was only launched in November last year. But the trajectory is looking good, so I think that we're going to have sufficient numbers of donors to provide a tissue. But it's a long-term goal. This is for long-term infrastructure, so it's not going to happen that quickly.
All right. Now, if I said I was willing to donate my brain to the Brain Bank in Singapore, right now there's no neurological issues, what have you, but by the time I do pass and certain things have cropped up, does that make me less of a viable donor or more of one?
It's important that we collect brains from people with brain disorders and from who are apparently healthy. All the brains are very important because we need to be able to compare a kind of a damaged brain with a healthy brain to see where the differences are. So I would say that all brains, healthy or from people with brain disorders, are equally important.
And on that note, we've been speaking to Professor Richard Reynolds, Director of Brain Bank Singapore. Professor Reynolds, thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you. Pleasure.
I'm Clarissa Montero for Health Suites. This is Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.